Welcome to the Orange County Catholic Radio Show on AM 1000 in Orange and San Diego counties and on AM 930 in Los Angeles County. Each week, we bring you compelling conversation with church leaders and laity, talking about the things going on in our diocese and discussing the important issues that impact the world around us. We're coming to you through the good offices of Immaculate Heart Radio from our studios on the campus of Christ Cathedral in Garden Grove, where Catholic faith is crystal clear. Here now to introduce our guest and today's topic is your host, Rick Howick.
Welcome to Orange County Catholic Radio. I'm Rick Howick, your host, and with me today is Father Gerald Horan from the Diocese of Orange. And Father, welcome.
Thank you very much, Rick.
Would you be so kind as to open us with a word of prayer?
In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Lord our God, in these fall months, our hearts are filled with feelings of thanksgiving, and so we thank you for the privilege of membership in your church, and we thank you for the message of salvation that you have entrusted to your church, and we pray that each one of us might be vigorous disciples who embrace that gift of love and who proclaim it by word and action. We pray your blessing on all that we do and upon the church in which and through which we serve your holy people. And all this we pray through Christ our Lord. Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.
And again, with me today is Father Jerry Horan. And I wanted to also make sure I said this. He's Vicar for Faith Formation here. And that's important because that actually encompasses several different offices. And we're going to talk today a little about long-term planning and visioning, not only in his offices, but he's high enough in the diocese here to know, to talk a little bit about what the bishop's ideas are for the diocese as a whole. So once again, welcome, Father.
Thank you.
And what I'd like to ask you is, what is that document you have in front of you right now? Now, our listening audience can't see this, but there's this glossy document that he's got in front of us, and it is called?
It's the newly published, or soon to be published, actually on the Diocesan website, our listeners can access it. It is the Pastoral Plan for the Diocese, subtitled A Framework for Connection.
Okay, the Pastoral Plan, that sounds pretty ominous and all-encompassing. What exactly is a Pastoral Plan?
Pastoral Plan is a document, a vision document, that outlines kind of who we are and where we're going. It's basically the product of the work of the bishop's pastoral council, or at least they oversee it. The diocese had a previous pastoral plan developed under Bishop Todd Brown's leadership, and I think we got about 10 years of direction out of that, and it led us through both many challenges and kind of successfully guided a lot of decision making. When the pastoral council, currently in leadership in the diocese, took a look at it to kind of reevaluate where they stand, they began to realize that most of what had been articulated under Bishop Brown's guidance had either been addressed or somehow resolved. And so they said, well, there's a need. We're in a new era. We're in this new space of the cathedral, and we've got new leadership in our diocese, and it's time to rearticulate and update that plan.
All right. Well, then let's back up for a moment, and let's talk about just how massive a diocese this is. Because while this diocese doesn't have the largest amount of square footage in say, California or in the West, it has a large number of people and services and ministries and properties, and there's a lot of things the bishop would like to do with all that. So describe the diocese just a little bit for our listening audience, especially with an understanding that a lot of our parishioners, they'll go to Mass and they really only see the diocese through the lens of their little parish.
Yes, we all see things from our own corner, and we understand our own kind of slice of the pie. Page 8 of the pastoral plan lays out some basic demographics. It says here in Orange, we are 1.3 million Catholic people. We've got 62 parishes and centers. We've got 177 diocesan priests and an additional 83 religious community priests. In the diocese, there are 291 religious sisters. There are 119 deacons, 7 high schools, 34 elementary schools, 3 hospitals.
So I count that as about 250 roughly priests between the ones that are diocesan and those that are here on loan, so to speak, from
right.
other areas. And that sounds like a lot of priests until you start dividing that into the number of parishes and diocesan opportunities for guidance and for ministry.
Well, then, of course, every area has its own unique demographic. We in Orange tend to have very sizable parishes. And so, I mean, in other parts of the country, the one-man church is kind of the what's typical. Here in Orange, our parishes might have 2, even some places 3 priests, and we have parish communities that can be upwards of 4,000, maybe 6,000 families.
Yeah, 4,000 to 6,000 families.
That are families, registered. Yeah.
You're talking,
not
multiply
members,
that
yeah.
by about 4-ish. And, although if it was the old days of Catholic, it would be 8 or 10-ish. But you're still talking multiples of thousands of people that these 2 or 3 priests are responsible
for. Are serving, yes.
Caring.
Yeah, that's right.
So in the diocese, if we're going to be using most efficiently the people that God has allowed us to have to work with us full time, who are doing this sacramental ministry, then that means that a number of things have to be planned out to be used equitably, fairly, and efficiently.
Oh, it's a major orchestration, that's for sure. To all of the people, and especially when you take that 1.3 million Catholics and begin to examine its demographic reality, then the diversities and differences are really rather challenging. So how to bring people to one page, one vision? I mean, we certainly don't want to just homogenize people, but to be the community that Jesus is talking about, we have to be able to talk to each other.
If we're talking about the love of Christ come to us, then our responsibility is to reach out to everyone who's come through our doors. So we have a lot of Caucasian people speaking English in this diocese. We have a lot of other people speaking Spanish and Tagalog and Korean and Vietnamese and several other languages, along with people who live in areas that are very, very comfortable and people that live in areas that are very economically stressed.
That's right. And that's why the overarching theme, as I mentioned, the subtitle of the pastoral plan is a framework for connection. Really, the plan, what's exciting about it is that it came from an elaborate consultation process, and the content of it is really what the participants in that process articulated as their vision for the church. But perhaps we can talk more about the process.
Whose vision? I realize this is the bishop's vision because he's the one who gives a stamp of approval, but he didn't put this whole document together alone. So who put this document together?
Well, as I mentioned, the pastoral council, the bishop's pastoral council, he has this council that he relies upon and with whom he collaborates in major visions and major...
Are these all priests? Are these...
No, they're representative lay people from parishes around the diocese, and
okay.
They try in composing and recruiting new membership to be somewhat representative. It might have, I think there's about 15 members, but and I would say they represent a variety of ethnicities, a variety of states in life, some married people, there are young single people, there are a variety of people who represent the church.
A multiplicity of visions in that group.
Yes, and yet, to talk about a vision for the whole diocese, I think they felt rather amazed at that task, maybe a bit overwhelmed. How do 15 or even 20 people speak about what 1.3 million people need? And so they saw the need, and they recruited from around the diocese more than 1,000 people to participate in listening sessions. And these listening sessions were conducted throughout a year's period of time. They were led by Dr. Kathy Schinhoffen, who is she used to work in our pastoral center in my office, the Office for Faith Formation. So I know her very well. But she's a very skilled facilitator, and she designed a process that would allow the 400 to 500 people at each of the gatherings to express, articulate, voice their needs. They had two basic questions that they dealt with. What were they pleased about in our diocese? And what did they hope for in our diocese?
Okay, let me stop for just a moment. For our listening audience, you may have tuned in over the last 10 minutes. We're talking with Father Jerry Horan, who is discussing the Diocese of Orange's, that's kind of a weird way of saying it, the pastoral plan of the Diocese of Orange, we'll call it that. The pastoral plan has been put together in order to give vision to where the diocese needs to be focused, where it should be going in its ministry. And we were talking a little bit about how this was put together. It sounds like it had a lot of input. When we come back, Father, I'd like us to open it up and discuss a little bit. You said to me when we were talking before that it's divided into, I think, 7 sections.
Mm.
And I'd like us to actually tackle some of those sections and really examine a little of where these people who put this together and the bishop himself really sees where the diocese wants to go. You're listening to Orange County Catholic Radio. I'm Rick Howick, your host. With me today is Father Jerry Horan, and we'll be right back. Back with Father Jerry Horan, who is the Vicar for Faith Formation for the Diocese of Orange, which covers a huge number of offices and ministries, more than I really want to get into, but a lot of education is what's in this. And you are talking today with us a little, acquainting us with this document that is now on the website, but in the process of being distributed. So it's brand new, hot off the presses, on the pastoral plan for the Diocese of Orange. Before we go too much further, because in our last segment we talked about how diverse the people were who helped put this together so that the vision really was representative as articulated by our bishop. What kind of a framing philosophy, theology, what were the framing thoughts to this document?
Well, a context concern was that the diocese is now celebrating, we're in our 40th anniversary year celebration. And so we wanted to mark that 40th year by certain achievements. And Bishop, in the introduction to the pastoral plan, speaks about the importance of the number 40 in scriptures, referring to the 40 years of Israel in their wanderings, the 40 days of Jesus in the desert as he began his public ministry, and so 40 can be for us a hallmark and a beginning. Bishop specifies that the framework or the vision is one of connection and connectedness, and that's a popular word in the technology world today, but Bishop points out in his introductory phrases that it's also a theological word. It translates easily into the notion of communion, about which Pope St. John Paul II and Pope Benedict spoke so much, and Pope Francis speaks about encounter. And the notion of being connected is really the goal. And as Bishop now completes his 4th year and enters into his 5th year, I think part of what he is realizing in his experience of the diocese is a great need for deeper connection. We spoke about the demographics and diversity, and that really sets the context for the challenge of kind of building deeper connections.
We are now coming to you from high atop the Tower of Hope in the middle of the beautiful campus here in Garden Grove at Christ Cathedral. And I say that because this is really still a very new change in the diocese for how we can use a campus like this more effectively in accomplishing the vision of the diocese. So we're in the process now of still finalizing how that cathedral will actually function. It's being renovated. It has a lot of things going on. But when that comes back online, that will be the center of our diocese, and it will represent the diocese as a whole, along with the rest of this campus. And it allows us to have a brand new, fresh start, which kind of coincides. Bishop Van has been here for 4 years, but it's still a fresh start. It's it's in the process of moving forward. So what are some of the ramifications of what these connections might mean?
Well, I think it is that we become kind of less entrenched in our own private kind of section of the church, our parish, or, you know, our local community, and that we realize and get excited about and supportive of the bigger reality of the church. The bishop points to the notion of the Trinity itself as the model of connection, and he challenges us to be like the Trinity in having both affection and affinity and kind of mutual collaboration and vision, and the Trinity, the love that exists between the Trinity being the model for what we are as a church. And if we are going to move forward and fully utilize this splendid property that's been entrusted to us, I think it requires reaching beyond and pulling together all of the various communities of the diocese to have a feeling of solidarity and shared direction. And so Bishop points to the Trinity. He points to the challenge of hospitality, and he says that really that kind of love that welcomes everyone, that includes everyone, is truly the vision for the church that we are becoming.
So when we were talking earlier about the demographic differences that we have from very, very wealthy to very, very poor, with multiplicity of ethnic groups and languages, by imitating the Trinity, he's asking us to reach out and connect and to use our resources in doing so. Okay, I think I get that. Now, the nuts and bolts of this is that they divided up the realization of that connectivity and the vision of how we achieve that into seven major areas. What are those areas? Let's start there.
Well, quite simply, the first one is unity in our diversity. The second one, our life of prayer. The third, personal and corporal works of mercy and love. The fourth, adult faith, youth and young adults. I think we're up to five, inactive and returning Catholics, and communication, and finally stewardship and finance.
We were laughing at the beginning of this show that they always put stewardship at the end. I don't know, the money is a pretty important thing, but we will come back to that. Let's start where the bishop starts. Let's start with that unity in our diversity. We've already been talking a little bit about that.
Well, that whole issue of connectedness and diversity, of being like the Trinity, means reaching beyond the privacy and the comfort of our own small groups. And so the pastoral council talks about having an intentional welcome to one another in every state and stage of life and age and culture. And that's a very broad vision. In the meetings that were conducted, the participants articulated where they saw the greatest needs of the diocese were. And so this document has sifted these seven areas of specific concern. Out of that, they've sifted special, particular vision statements. And what the document does not outline, we're going to build this building here and we're going to pay off that debt here, but it spells out a vision, and then it asks reflection questions. So what can we at each community level do to grapple with the particular area or concern that's being elicited? And so in this area of intentional welcome, some of the questions are, who will I make welcome? What space am I willing to share? Are there ways to make our own communities more welcoming, and how can the diocese as a whole become a community of welcome to people in their journey of faith?
So if I'm hearing this right, the document is really two things then. It's a vision of where the bishop wants to go, but it's also an invitation to reflect on how the people who are reading the document, which should be every parishioner if possible, at least everyone who's involved in the ministry at the parish level, how that can, each of these areas can be realized.
How that value can be achieved and deepened within their local community, and how, as each one of those communities progresses, that can accumulate into a larger reality of changing and growing the diocese or deepening our values.
Okay, the second area that is to be focused, once we have grounded ourselves in a drive toward unity, is an embrace of prayer. How does the bishop approach that growth area?
Well, he makes it very clear that at the very center of our encounter with God, our encounter with each other, is the liturgical assembly. And, of course, that notion comes, or that realization comes directly out of the documents of Vatican II. But he speaks about the importance of our gatherings for prayer, our liturgical gatherings, being meaningful and enriching, being hospitable and beautiful, elevating. And so the importance and significance of the experience of liturgy as a growthful experience in every parish community. And as we grow and enhance the expression of liturgy at the local level, then we're building kind of an expectation and a realization for the larger diocese as well.
So the primary focus then is our source and summit of our faith, which is our embrace of Eucharist in the liturgy. It's an embrace of prayer communally, and from that then will flow a more prayerful embrace of Christ.
Exactly, and in this section, the reflection questions ask us whether people are welcome to our prayer. Does the liturgy give voice to my prayer? Is the liturgy as effective as it can be?
You're listening to Orange County Catholic Radio. I'm Rick Howick, your host, and with me today is Father Jerry Horan. And we're talking about this brand new document that's come out. It's online already in a non-print form, though you can print your own. And it's been printed, or in the process of being printed, and will be distributed to the parishes shortly. And we're talking about the vision for the diocese. Exciting stuff. And we will be right back.
The passing of a loved one is a difficult and often sorrowful step in life's journey. The helpful and supportive staff at the Cathedral Memorial Garden Cemetery, located on the 34-acre iconic Christ Cathedral campus in the center of Orange County, are here to assist you and your family through this transition. The more than 1 acre Cathedral Memorial Gardens is unique in Orange County, offering a central location, serene garden-like grounds, majestic fountains, and a dramatic statuary, all set within the soaring architectural gem of the Christ Cathedral campus. Cathedral Memorial Gardens now has beautiful glass front niches. Single, companion, and family four spaces are now available with interior LED lighting with decorative trim that will display your loved one's urn with dignity forever. For more information, please visit memorialgardens.christcathedralcalifornia.org or contact 714-489-6102, 714-489-6102.
And we're back. You're listening to Orange County Catholic Radio, coming to you high atop the Tower of Hope in beautiful Garden Grove, California, on the campus of Christ Cathedral, where Catholic faith is crystal clear. With me today is Father Jerry Horan, and we have been talking about the pastoral plan for the Diocese of Orange, brand new, coming out. We haven't put together as a diocese a complete pastoral plan since the last bishop was here. And we're now in the process of publishing this and getting it out there after having gone through an immense process with many divergent people coming in to give their thoughts and opinions on where the diocese should go in order to serve its 60-plus parishes and all of the other ministry programs, to serve 1.3 million
Catholics.
Catholics throughout this area of Southern California. So this plan's possible impact is huge. And so we're trying to pick apart, I think that's the wrong term to use, we're trying to examine what it is this plan is asking us to pay attention to as we move forward. So we had talked a little bit about unity, and then we talked a brief moment about the prayer of the church, which of course is focused on its liturgy. What are the other areas that come into mind for the bishop that he wants us to think about in this document?
Well, the next section addresses the corporal and spiritual works of mercy, personal and corporal works of mercy and love. And in this section, Bishop speaks about the importance of family life, about supporting married couples in their vocation of marriage, and about the encouragement that Pope Francis has given us in the recent Year of Mercy to really be busy about the work of love. In fact, one of the most practical suggestions or strategic elements, I think the only part of the document that really speaks about something specific that we will do is in this section where they talk about creating a diocesan pastoral care center. And that would be, we have a pastoral center, but that's basically administrative. This right. would be a pastoral care center where activities support work for support groups and outreach ministries that support people in their lives might be housed. And so Pope Francis, in the promulgation of the Year of Mercy, suggested this, that every diocese create some memorial to some institutional memorial to this observance of God's mercy, to realize and particularize it. And so this section speaks about both the need and the hope that that a diocesan pastoral care center would house some of these ministries that would help and support people in their lives, in their commitments, in their struggles.
See, this is one of the things that I, being a convert, am very still appreciative of, the difference that Catholic faith makes as opposed to some other interpretations of Christianity. The idea of our First Amendment, freedom of religion, isn't just freedom of worship. It's not just a freedom to go to our church on Sundays, though as we were looking, that's central. So those are the first two things we talk about, is the welcoming and then the prayer of the liturgy. But then the rest of this document goes into what is so unique about Catholic faith. It's now live it out. The Mass is ended. Go forth and take the Mass with you into the world and live it out. Freedom of religion in our culture is really clearly understood as how to live it, not just on Sunday.
That's right.
But lived out. And that's what this section
and what
seems
we say
to
around the Lord's table doesn't really begin to make sense unless we're directly involved in reaching beyond ourselves and in reaching out to others through the corporal and spiritual works of mercy. And clearly in the questions that are here, the bishop is inviting all of the parish communities of the diocese to deepen their commitment to those works of mercy. And if we're doing that in every corner of the diocese, as well as in this envisioned pastoral care center, hopefully we will be a better reflection of the Lord's own mercy.
What's the next section that the bishop wants us to pay attention to as we're looking to our future and how we realize Christ's intent for our ministry?
Bishop goes on from there to, in this document, to talk about adult faith, youth, and young adults. Of course, so many of the documents of the church really emphasize the importance of growth in faith for our adult population. We've got so many in my own office. We find so many situations where people's religious formation and development ceased when they, maybe after their first sacraments or maybe after confirmation. And so he's really calling for all of us to have more growth opportunities for adult Catholics. And of course, one of the things that we're realizing is that all of the work that we're doing with children won't have impact unless it's reinforced in their home life. And so providing enrichment opportunities and learning opportunities to the adult faith community is really an important place to begin building the church.
So this takes on young adults, but it also takes on old adults as well as children in this section.
Yes, yes.
Okay, so your area that you're responsible for in the diocese really fits quite a bit into this particular vision.
Well, it reaches into each of those areas. We're working with young adults in both the young adult ministries of the diocese and the universities. We're working with children in religious ed, faith formation, and Catholic school work. We're working with adults through the Institute for Pastoral Ministry, that is the education and certification outreach of the bishop's offices. So we're really dealing with all of these areas.
So this is an attempt to really look at how we can grow all of the areas of the development of adults, youth, and children so that they grow in their faith.
Exactly. And I see the inclusion of this particular section as a great affirmation and support of our work. It calls for us to realize that it's not enough just to prepare young people for their sacraments, but we need to train them in the values that make up our faith. We need to, it speaks about the need for salaries that recognize the skills of those committed to ministries. It talks about adherence to safe environment. It approaches a variety of areas, and it's even got a special section here, or a kind of a post note on evangelization, which has become a real priority in all of the departments of our office.
The faith of Jesus Christ is not something that we just receive as a gift that we then bury away. It's something that we take as a gift to keep giving away.
Exactly.
And the more we give it away, the more we're entrusted with more to give. Because otherwise we're being selfish with this great gift that we've been given, which means have we really received that gift or we're that selfish? Evangelization is very important. What's the next section that this document goes through?
Actually, this is another area that the Office of Parish Faith Formation works with quite a bit, the inactive and returning Catholics. And we know the statistics about, we've quoted here on this show before, right. The statistic that the Roman Catholics are the largest single Christian denomination and the second largest are ex-Catholics. And so there is a large population out there who for one reason or another have become separated from the community of believers, and we want to reach out to them, welcome them once again, perhaps deal with what may have gone wrong and what can be better in their relationship to the church.
I know that the RCIA process is often used for a lot of this. I can say that what I've seen in the last 30 years or so, the explosion of social media, the use of different kinds of media in order to bring that invitation for former Catholics to come home, that Christ not only still loves you but misses you, you're needed, you're wanted, you're welcome, and we miss you, that message is being brought out there in so many different ways now. I am so glad that the bishop is aware of the need to reach out in all these different mediums and to have a visioning plan for this particular area in particular.
Yes, and I think, well, RCIA, as you well point out, is a very important area for reconciling and expanding the church. Each parish, there's 62 parishes, and they might have 15 to 20 people involved in RCIA, and so maybe that's 600 to 1,000 people, whether they're returning to the church or whether they're initially entering the church, who might be involved in that at a given time. But compared to that 1.3 million, that's a very small fraction, and I think this section of the bishop's vision statement is really challenging us to go out in a more expansive and wholehearted way to welcome in broader populations of people who perhaps have become separated from the faith community.
I am so glad that we're going through this document, because it's filling me with hope to know that our diocese is aware of the need to reach out and to envision better ways for us to reach these people. You're listening to Orange County Catholic Radio. I'm talking to Father Jerry Horan. We're going over the diocesan plan for growth. And when we come back, we've got two more sections, and I'm very excited especially about one of them. We'll be right back.
Now is your chance to support Catholic education and the future of our Catholic faith. Subscribe to the OC Catholic newspaper today, and we'll make a financial contribution to the Catholic school of your choice. Simply visit occatholic.com/subscribe and select the school within the Diocese of Orange that you'd like to support, and we'll make a gift in your name. You also get the award-winning OC Catholic newspaper at your door with the OC Register newspaper every Sunday for 1 year. This is win-win all around. Go to occatholic.com/subscribe.
Welcome back to Orange County Catholic Radio. I'm Rick Howick, your host. And with me today has been Father Jerry Horan, and we have been going through a document. And for the most part, when I hear we're going to dissect a document, my eyes start glazing over. But in this case, we're talking about the pastoral plan for growth, where the diocese is going. And from a Catholic perspective, I'm so very encouraged, because despite the very complicated administrative needs of this diocese, this plan is very spiritually focused. It's very focused on the nature of what Jesus Christ would want for us to do in order to reach out with his ministry, with his heart to the people around us.
And if we in all of our parishes really grapple with the challenge areas that have been articulated, if we work through the questions for reflection and action that are posed here, then this goal of connectedness, I think, has the potential to be really transforming in our parish communities. And as all of the parishes are transformed, it has a transformative effect on the whole.
When you talk about connectedness, you're also giving me a perfect segue into the sixth area, which is an area that is near and dear to my heart, communication. What is the bishop thinking and seeing as vision for the diocese into the future in regard to communication?
Well, I think, again, to that theme of connectedness, we're realizing what a challenging area it is to communicate in this 21st century. And we have wonderful opportunities of communication going on in the diocese. We've got a nationally award-winning diocesan newspaper that has grown spectacularly, the Orange County Catholic. We've got a radio and television station here on the cathedral campus, and we've got a very effective office of communications within the Diocesan Pastoral Center. And I think these entities and agencies working together will really, I think, create the fiber of that connectedness that that he's talking about throughout the document. He's talking in this section on communication about everything from improvement of parish websites and bulletins to creating systems of communication between and among parishes so that events are more widely promoted.
So the use of new technologies as well as enhancing effective older technologies is really the focus of this section. And it's very exciting to see, because we really do have so many different opportunities now with, we can name Twitter and Facebook and other types of social media that can be harvested and used to organize and to get the word out about ministry. But we also, as you've mentioned, in the gift that God has given in this particular facility, we now have a radio station that we're working with. Jim sitting across from me is the technical director who not only does this program, but is also, was waving at you, by the way. He's also involved with several other radio shows that are here. Peggy Normandine,
yes. Call Me Catholic.
Peggy Normandine does Call Me Catholic, which is on EWTN's radio broadcasting system. We have a number of other shows that originate from this station. There's a television studio next door to us that EWTN uses for a number of different things, including a show that Father Spitzer does on a weekly basis on his universe, the growth has been exponential for this diocese's outreach to the Southern California and worldwide community.
And even internally in the infrastructure of the diocese, being more focused and clear about communicating, we had a lot of redundant or overlapping messaging going out, the same thing, notifications being sent. I would get 3 and 4 copies of the same thing. And so the communications office is really tailoring and clarifying and focusing the messaging so that we are communicating effectively and not wasting people's time.
And then the last area for growth that he's got is, of course, near and dear to all of our hearts, and that would be
stewardship and finance.
Money.
And as you mentioned, the resources always come last, and they underpin all of the other goal areas that, in fact, there's a lovely, on this page, has a lovely picture of Mother Teresa, Saint Mother Teresa. Not all of us can do great things, but we can do small things with great love. And so this section is inviting everyone to look at their stewardship, to have a vision that is not just theoretical, but practical, and that's committed, and putting their resources toward the achievement of diocesan vision.
So I was telling you about a friend of mine who knows a priest, and one of the things he will talk about at the drop of a hat, and it's one of the first prayers he'll ever say, is, "Dear Lord, give us money because we got a lot to do." And he's
and
not ashamed
know,
of
yeah.
it. But yeah. it, we shouldn't be, because money, if it's used as a tool, is a tool for God's use. And if that's the case, then what we need, and all of us, I think, are very aware these days, since very few of us have a lot of extra money, those of us who have been graced, though, to have the money to be able to help empower, that empowerment is part of this. And it's how do we grow the stewardship and to use better the time, talent, and treasure that God has given all of us to use.
Definitely. And we've embarked upon some very challenging prospects and projects, and to see them through. We all know the scripture story about what man would begin to build what he could not finish, or go to war with an army that wasn't really trained. And so we are good stewardship on the administrative level requires that we use those resources well to bring our projects to realistic achievement. In fact, the recent reformulating of the entire cathedral project is a fine example of that. In the reformulation of the cathedral plans, the project was scaled back to fit within the available and committed finances, and to make it still pleasing and inspiring, but a realistic achievement.
So I'm very, very pleased to see that after probably about a 10-year hiatus, we've had a full and complete reevaluation of where the diocesan vision should be and put out and promulgated for everyone to be able to chew on, to
yes.
dwell on and think about.
And those 10 years haven't been wasted.
No.
Because really the plan that was in effect during Bishop Brown's leadership, by and large, all of the topical areas articulated there have been in some way addressed or retired, or this refreshes the vision and gives us a new perspective and a future orientation, little updating.
However, having myself been involved in administrative work before, I know that these plans can and often become dust collectors. They end up on the shelf. Thank you very much for putting all your work in. Let's put it up there, and in 5 years, we'll look at it again. How do we know that's not going to happen for this plan, Father?
Well, the two things that I would look at as accountability structures are the Pastoral Council itself, which is a group that meets periodically about every other month with the bishop, and they are the nagging voice that says, you know, is this new plan in accord with what we've laid out as our vision? Are we moving forward on our vision? And so the constant concern of the Pastoral Council, who have worked to kind of sift down the input of those 1,000 people into this articulation, they're going to want to see it through. And their regular meetings will keep that voice alive. The second thing is, I was mentioning to you that all of the director leaders in the Pastoral Center have been called together for a meeting about promulgation and promotion of the pastoral plan throughout the diocese. And so I hope that that'll be a very creative meeting, but also result in some very practical measures to make this both available and accessed within our parish communities.
So this isn't going to just stay at the bishop's level with his pastoral council. This is being brought to all the pastoral councils through their leadership so that the parishes can contemplate where their interpretation is of these 7 points of vision within the connectivity of the entire diocese.
That's certainly what I understand and expect.
That is fantastic. Father, I want to thank you so very, very much for coming in and for bravely going through this document. It can be a very daunting task, and you did marvelously. Thank you.
Thank you.
The vision statement that this really brings to us is very inspiring, and it is one that is worthy of a nice glossy pamphlet here, but it's more important. It's worthy of the heart of Christ that is, I trust, is going to be inflamed connectively through the individual parishes and ministry functions of our diocese. Father, if you'd be so kind as to lead us in a word of prayer and blessing, I think our listeners would deeply appreciate it.
Lord our God, we thank you for this time of reflection. You guide your church, you bless us, and you allow us to continue the work of your Son. As our church updates our vision and refreshes our commitment and our planning, we pray that you will bless us with the grace and the strength and the resources to see this plan through. And we pray that it will be truly growthful for your church here and throughout the world. All this we pray through Christ our Lord. And may Almighty God bless you all, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. You're listening to Orange County Catholic Radio. With me today has been Father Horan. Thank you, Father. And I'm Rick Howick, your host, and we will be back with you again next week.
The passing of a loved one is a difficult and often sorrowful step in life's journey. The helpful and supportive staff at the Cathedral Memorial Garden Cemetery, located on the 34-acre iconic Christ Cathedral campus in the center of Orange County, are here to assist you and your family through this transition. The more than 1 acre Cathedral Memorial Gardens is unique in Orange County, offering a central location, serene garden-like grounds, majestic fountains, and a dramatic statuary, all set within the soaring architectural gems of the Christ Cathedral campus. Cathedral Memorial Gardens now has beautiful glass front niches. Single, companion, and family four spaces are now available with interior LED lighting with decorative trim that will display your loved one's urn with dignity forever. For more information, please visit memorialgardens.christcathedralcalifornia.org or contact 714-489-6102. 714-489-6102.